pray, let us hear the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all.
And to your spirit.
A reading is from the Holy Gospel according to the Evangelist, St. John.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee.
Let us attend. At that time Jesus came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest ask of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up unto everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and of whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said unto him, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city, and came unto him. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereupon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We should be asking the Lord Jesus Christ for living water. And we should be approaching him and saying, Lord, give me more of what you have to offer. We get drawn to this world. What a magnet it is for us. How it draws us. Yet it is, the more we drink of the things that we seek in this world, the less satisfying they become. In fact, it even becomes so that those things which we coveted after, which we chased after, which we sought after, which we desired so much, become things that we begin to hate when we realize how those things draw us downward to death and away from God. Such a paradox it is. We covet, we seek, we pledge ourselves to the service of unsatisfying waters, things that can never satisfy. And we leave the healing, satisfying, wholesome, good, pure water that Christ offers us aside. And we count it as no repute so often. Today in our gospel, the Lord teaches us that we should seek living water and that we should seek it from him. He tells us what it is and what it leads on to. And so it is. That a woman of Samaria. The Samaritans traced their lineage back to the land of Babylon. And so they could claim Abraham and Jacob for their fathers. And they came to this precious well. And there was a woman there who met the Lord. A Samaritan woman, one with whom the Jews were to have no dealing whatsoever. And there she came. And the Lord speaks to her. And says, give me some of this water. And then begins this great conversation. She says, how can you deal with me? Knowing your own faith as I do a little bit, you should have no dealings with me. And then Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God. My brothers and sisters, we are so ignorant. Sometimes willfully so. Of the gifts of God. And so this woman approached God himself, unawares totally of what he could offer. And except he had initiated the conversation, one can wonder whether she would have ever found out who sat there. But God in his love seeks her and begins this conversation. And he said, if you knew the gift of God, and then furthermore, who it is that says to me, do you give me to drink? He begins to make her wonder about things that are beyond this earthly well that she stood before. This historic well. This good well. This good but earthly well. He begins to make her wonder if there's something more. He said, if you knew who it was before you and what the gift of God is, you would have asked. We need to ask. We need to be asking God. It's not enough to stand in front of him in our ignorance or even knowing who he is, but we need to be asking things of him. He says, if you would have just asked for living water, I would have given it to you. There's no person that would ask of God something that's wholesome and good that he would deny. And so even a Samaritan can ask. And God encourages her to ask. Maybe today we stand or sit here and look at ourselves like Samaritans.
because of our sins, we've traveled far away from God. We've gone to the spiritual Babylon, perhaps, and we've been drinking of its wells. God says, there is a gift of God, and if you ask me of it, I will give to you. I will give you living waters, no matter who you are, where you are, what you are, or what you're doing. When you see who I am, you need to ask me, and then I'll give you this living water, this gift of God. The living water, of course, is a picture of the Holy Spirit. We see that in the baptism of the Lord, when the Holy Trinity was manifest, when Christ goes into the water. And we know, as our services relive and re-experience the descent of the Holy Spirit on individual human beings, that God comes, and so often we see this portrayal of water being something that cleanses not just outside, but inside. And so the woman says, I'm more ears than I was when I first came to this place. And he says, you've got nothing to draw with. This well is deep. When are you going to have this living water? And then Jesus opens her eyes and he goes, whosoever will drink of this water, this earthly physical water. And he's not saying it's bad to drink of this water. While we're in this body, we'd better drink of this water. We need to drink of this water. But he says simply this fact, this true fact, that whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again. This earthly water will never satisfy you fully. You will never be able to stop drinking it. It will only do what it does for a limited period of time. But he says, whosoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. When Jesus fills us with himself, with his Holy Spirit, our thirst for spiritual things is fulfilled. We say, I have found it. I have found the pearl of great price, and it satisfies. Through whatever struggles we might have, when we drink of the Lord Jesus, he's able to satisfy us so that we never thirst. But even more than that, he says that well that I give him, that water that comes from that well, that spiritual well which is God, and that water which is God himself and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, he says that well will be like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It's like the well when you drink of it that not just gives you this little bit of water that you put in your mouth and swallow, but it's like when it goes inside you, it begins to multiply. And so it was in the parable of the talents, the Lord shows us this kind of multiplication. That when God gives you something, it multiplies. 2 becomes 4. 5 becomes 10. 1 becomes 2. God's water not only sustains us and meets our needs, but it begins to multiply and it springs up unto everlasting life, changing us from those creatures of Babylon into creatures of God and children and sons of God. At this point, the light went on. The woman saw that something special was in front of her. There was something being offered her. This water, she said, sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Neither do I have to come here and draw. We should have that feeling in our hearts that we ask God. We have importunity in our souls, and in our voice, in our mind. Sir, God, give me, Lord, this water that I don't thirst again, that I don't have to keep coming to draw from earthly wells. And so she then recognized, when the Lord prophesied about the husbands, that this was truly God. The normal response when we taste of God, we have a conversion experience or God does something special in our life, is to go and run and tell others. Perhaps if our joy is run down, mine gets run down sometimes, so does yours, it's good to remember what God's done for us and how he's lifted us up, and we become thankful and we can be reinvigorated to go out and tell others. She brought them all. And it says when she left the place where she met the Lord, interesting words. It says she left her water pot. It kind of seems like a strange interjection about this little pot of water that she brought here. Or not so little, perhaps. They used to carry pretty big pots back then. They were a tougher stock, I think, than we are. She left her water pot. That's an indication of leaving the water of this world behind. When you've tasted the water that Jesus gives you. No longer do you chase the things of the world. No longer do you hold so tightly to them. But you leave your water pot behind and you go tell others. She got into the city and she went and told people, hey, I just saw somebody that told me everything I ever did. And I think in her relationship with the five husbands and the six that she had now was pretty much the story of her life. How true it is that who we hang out with and our peers and our family determines so much the direction of our life. Whether it's stable, whether it's chaotic, whether it's up, whether it's down, whether it's sideways, whether you're wandering in the wilderness, whether you're in pain, whether your economics are good or whether they're not, in that encapsulation of the relationships was all of life. She went into that city. I think a lot of guys in that city were on that list. And they all wanted to see what it was that would change this person who was so earthly minded into somebody who said, I found the Christ. Something's changed. And so it was that they too came out. And it says many in that city believed. First for her word, and secondly because they saw and tasted themselves and they drank of the water that Christ had to give them. Beautiful thought. Samaritan woman became an equal to the apostles. She went out and spoke the word and brought people to Jesus Christ. That person who'd been locked in the sins of Babylon was converted and changed by a meeting with Christ and by accepting his truth and his messiahship and his lordship. The everlasting water came in and God changed her life. I often think, and I thought more so when I was reading these verses, of how it is that we drink at different wells in our life. We're all drinking at some kind of well. And what Jesus teaches us today is that there is a spiritual well and there is also a physical well. We need to drink at certain physical wells. We have needs to sleep, to eat, to drink. But Jesus said that well is never going to satisfy. That well doesn't spring up into everlasting life. What does spring up into everlasting life is the presence of Christ within you, which changes you. Oftentimes, we're drinking out of pretty much just the physical well. And we're forgetting about the well that springs to life as we just stay with our heads in this water of this world that ultimately will not sustain us and we'll die. Think of the things that we drink at, the wells we drink at, where we place ourselves, what we seek after. Think of things like television. How many hours do we spend watching television? How much music do we listen to that doesn't point us to God? How deep does that get into our souls and our hearts? Think about sports. And while bodily exercise profiteth little, it can become your whole life. Think about physical food and drink and how banquetings and things that have to do with food and drink in excess can take over our life. Think about other wells that you go to find sustenance, to find happiness, to find fulfillment, the lusts of the flesh, too much sleep. I could go on and on and on. All those things, perhaps we can find something good in a certain appropriation of them for ourselves. We need television, maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure about it. We do certainly need to eat and drink. We need to sleep. We need to procreate. And some bodily exercise, I think, does us good. But there's so many things that we look to for fulfillment that just in the end leave us empty. But the water that Jesus wants to give you is the opposite. It springs up into everlasting life. And this water, when you drink of it, begins to multiply itself And it begins to lead you to virtues. It begins to lead you to happiness. It leads you, in the end, to eternal life. Jesus is sitting by those wells of the world, trying to divert you today from sitting too long at them, and certainly from sitting exclusively at them. And he's calling us and saying, my dear child, I offer to you the gift of God. I offer myself to you. Will you come and drink? He says to each one of us, come, I offer you living water. And he says to us, everything else is vanity and emptiness in the end, but I am life and life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.